One day there came from the south a stranger who was unlike any man that Shasta had seen before. He rode upon a strong, dappled horse with flowing mane and tail, and his stirrups and bridle were inlaid with silver. The spike of a helmet projected from the middle of his silken turban, and he wore a shirt of chain mail. By his side hung a curving scimitar, a round shield studded with bosses of brass, and his right hand grasped a lance. His face was dark, like all the people of Kalorman, but his beard was dyed crimson and was curled and gleamed with scented oil. Shasta knew by the gold on the stranger's bare arm that he was a Tarkan, a great lord.
Whoa, whoa! You, fisherman!
Yes, master.
Deal, you stupid boy.
Yes, father.
I have traveled far. I need hospitality for the night.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. We are unworthy to have such an honor.
Quiet!
Yes, my lord.
Go on, boy. Inside now and fix our guests some supper.
Yes, father.
Shasta prepared the best they had and set it before the Tarkan for supper. And as always happened when the fishermen had company, Shasta was given a hunk of bread and turned out of the cottage. On these occasions, he usually slept with the donkey in its little thatched stable. But it was much too early to go to sleep yet, and Shasta, who'd never learned that it was wrong to listen behind doors, sat down with his ear to a crack in the wooden wall of the cottage to hear what the grown-ups were talking about.
Are you pleased with the meal, my lord?
It will suffice, though I have a mind to buy that boy of yours.
Oh, my master. What price could induce your poor servant to sell into slavery his only child and his own flesh? Has not one of the poets said, natural affection is stronger than soup, and offspring more precious than carbuncle?
But another poet has likewise said, he who attempts to deceive the judicious is already bearing his own back for the scourge. Do not load your aged mouth with falsehoods. This boy is no son of yours, for your cheek is as dark as mine, but the boy is fair and white like the accursed but beautiful barbarians who inhabit the remote north.
How well you have said. Know then, oh my formidable guest, that because of extreme poverty, I have never married and have no child. But in the same year in which the Tizrock, may he live forever, began his beneficent reign, on a night when the moon was full, it pleased the gods to deprive me of sleep. Therefore, I arose from my bed in this hovel and went forth to the beach to refresh myself with looking upon the water and breathing the cool air.
What of it?
Well, presently, I heard a noise as of oars coming to me across the water. And then I heard a weak cry. Shortly after, the tide brought to the land a little boat in which there was nothing but a man lean with extreme hunger and thirst who seemed to have died but a few moments before.
How could you know that?
The man was still warm. But there was a child still living. Unfortunates who have escaped from the wreck of a great ship, I surmise then. And the elder has starved himself to keep the child alive and sadly has perished in sight of land. Being moved by compassion, for your servant is a man of tender heart.
Leave out all these idle words in your own praise. It is enough to know that you took the child and have had 10 times the worth of his daily bread out of him in labor, as anyone can see. And now, tell me at once what price you put on him, for I am wearied with your talkativeness.
You yourself have wisely said that the boy's labor has been to me of inestimable value. This must be taken into account in fixing the price. For if I sell the boy, I must undoubtedly either buy or hire another to do his work.
I'll give you 15 crescents for him.
15? 15? For the prop of my old age
and the delight of my eyes? Oh, do not mock my gray beard, Tarkhan though you be. My price is 70.
70? Why, I need only travel to your village to find an equal servant for half.
My lord is welcome to try. Oh, come, come. We are reasonable men, men of business.
Then be reasonable, or I shall lose my temper.
Have another drink, my lord.
Now, 15. You must not imagine that Shasta felt at all as you and I would feel if we had just overheard our parents talking about selling us for slaves. For one thing, his life was already a little better than slavery. For all he knew, the lordly stranger on the great horse might be kinder to him than Ashish. For another, he'd often been uneasy because, try as he might, he'd never been able to love the fisherman. And he knew that a boy ought to love his father. And now, apparently, he was no relation to Ashish at all.